You're listening to the UAV Digest, the weekly audio podcast bringing you coverage of unmanned aerial vehicles and systems. Find us at theuavdigest.com.
Well, I'm getting to talk about Predators and Reapers. We're here with Colonel Mike Smith of the 174th Attack Wing. They are based out of Hancock Field in Syracuse, with a remote operating in Fort Drum, which is north of Syracuse. Thank you for being on the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Colonel, your presentation today was fantastic. Most people associate the word drone with the aircraft you fly, and I say aircraft, not just. And you stressed a couple of things that I'd like you to elaborate on is it may be an unmanned system, but it's definitely not pilotless. And you also mentioned the fact that one of your challenges is you guys are bringing into the military aviation, military UAV operations or remotely piloted aircraft, RPAs, into the civilian airspace. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Right, yes. So thank you, number one, for this opportunity. But yeah, we always try to get the message out that the MQ-9 aircraft that is operated by the United States Air Force is definitely not a drone. In fact, it's a remotely piloted aircraft. And in reality, it's an unmanned aerial vehicle, but there's nothing unmanned about the system. There's always a pilot in control of the aircraft, and there's a team behind it to ensure the safety of the operation, as well as to ensure that the mission is successful. So that's our message, because there is a connotation out there, and I really don't know where it started. It's probably with the word drone itself, that this thing goes out there, takes off, flies autonomously, does wherever it wants, does whatever it wants to, and then lands. And that's just far from the truth, and we just need to do a better job of messaging that fact out there, that it is controlled by a pilot, especially in the Air Force, and that we abide by all the rules and regulations as such.
So talk about integrating these piloted aircraft into piloted airspace or general aviation, etc. That's going to be quite a challenge over the next couple of years, and it sounds like you've been very successful so far.
Right, it is a challenge, and one of the big things to remember about this operation is this was born out of a wartime effort. So they really didn't think about integrating it into the national airspace. So now, with the success that we've had and the training that's required to do it, now they're starting to think of how are we going to integrate it into the national airspace. So with that, we just need, again, to get the message out that it is piloted. It has all the standard aviation equipment, like an IFF. We have a radio. We talk and squawk to the air traffic control just like anybody else. We have the map. We have the visuals display to know where we're at in the system. And so we can fly and follow the rules that are required. Our biggest challenge is sense and avoid, as it should be. You don't want to fly into another aircraft. So, and that's what we're working on right now, whether it be a ground-based radar or an airborne radar on the aircraft itself, in order to ensure sensing another conflict and then avoiding it. And so that's what we're working on right now, and that's one of our big focuses, to do it safely, because like I said, we want to operate safely in the skies just like anybody else does.
Well, we won't keep you, but first of all, let me say thank you for your service. And thank you for presenting a aircraft that has not necessarily the best reputation, but I'm sure we'll see become more integrated with the U.S. airspace, and there's going to be a lot of applications you've brought forth that we don't know yet that you guys are going to be able to do, supporting firefighters and supporting our aviation system here. So again, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Just one more thing really quickly. What is your military experience like? What have you done in the Air Force?
Right. So I've had about 25 years of aviation experience. So right out of college, I went to pilot training. And so I've flown the T-38. I was instructor into T-38 and then transitioned to the F-16. And so I had 21 years of manned aviation experience and then transitioned over to the RPA. And now I've got about 6 years of RPA experience.
So Pratt & Whitney engines on those F-16s?
Yeah, as well as GEs.
So, did you fly both?
Yes, I've flown all of them.
Could you tell the difference?
Yeah, there is a difference, but it's both had great safety records, and there's a little bit, but I wouldn't say anything noticeable.
Nothing dramatic. Right, and see, you don't know this, but I had a 35-year career with Pratt & Whitney, so that's why I brought it up, and that's why I asked. So
that's why I cringed.
I know. All right, thanks again so much. Yeah,
appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Find more great content at theuavdigest.com.